Our epistle for this feast of the Holy Family is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Colossians, chapter 3, verses 12 through 17. Brethren, put on as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, a heart of mercy, kindness, humility, meekness, patience. Bear with one another and forgive one another. If anyone has a grievance against any other, even as the Lord has forgiven you, so also do you forgive. But above all these things, have charity, which is the bond of perfection. May the peace of Christ reign in your hearts, and to that peace indeed you were called in one body. Show yourselves thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you abundantly. In all wisdom, teach and admonish one another by psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing in your hearts to God by his grace. Whatever you do, in word or in work, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. Continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 2, verses 42 to 52. When Jesus was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. And after they had fulfilled the days when they were returning, the boy Jesus remained in Jerusalem, and his parents did not know it. But thinking that he was in the caravan, they had come a day's journey before it had occurred to them to look for him among their relatives and acquaintances. And not finding him, they returned to Jerusalem in search of him. And it came to pass, after 3 days, that they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all were amazed. And all who were listening to him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when they saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, Son, why hast thou done so to us? Behold, in sorrow thy father and I have been seeking thee. And he said to them, How is it that you sought me? Did you not know I must be about my father's business? And they did not understand the word that he spoke to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. And his mother kept all these things carefully in her heart. And Jesus advanced in wisdom and age and grace before God and man. Thus far the words of today's epistle and holy gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Whatever you do in word or in work, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, sometimes when we come upon a feast, the main idea for our meditation is staring us right in the face. I think today is such a feast. The Feast of the Holy Family. Two terms which I think we should consider, holy and family. Holiness is a choice that the individual must make. It is a choice that is made in a moment, and is met with persistency and consistency. Meaning we make a decision and then we follow through with that decision. Well, what is holiness? It's quite the concept which is often misunderstood. Somehow we think that holiness is when other people consider us good and holy. That's folly. We shouldn't care what men think, care what God thinks. Holiness has everything to deal with our relationship with God, real relationship with God. We're not holy just because we come to church on Sunday. You're holy when you have invited God sincerely into your lives and into your day. He's a reality to you, not a concept or an idea that's distant from you. This is our primary vocation. Our primary calling is to be holy, is to be a saint. Now, here I want to pause for a moment, because when we start talking about these concepts, about what is and what isn't, we oftentimes get tempted into going into a discouragement or a type of a spiritual darkness. And that's the game the devil makes use of. Sometimes some people, when they hear this is what we need to do, and or this is what we shouldn't do, they want to block it out, cover their ears, not pay attention. And that's just a loser mentality. No, we pay attention to the things we need to change, and then we make the decision to change them while we still have time. And if we are alive, we still have time. We can go through and say, the sermon today or the gospel today means that I'm a failure. I have so much to do. Well, yes and no. I mean, if you think that you can become holy by yourself, well, that's not the way it works. We become holy because he who is holy and perfect makes us so. And we have allowed him and invited him into our hearts by making good use of our intellect and free will. And we have allowed him to make us so. Making good use of the gifts that he has given to us, of the sacraments, not taking them for granted or not taking advantage of them. Now let's consider the term family, a concept which in this day and age has been attacked on so many different levels. It's attacked when considering divorce or abortion or living together outside of marriage. It's attacked in the news and in the movies, in the entertainment industry, in the music. It's attacked on so many levels. It is even being made a mockery of, maybe not consciously, at least subconsciously, when people go and they vow to each other in front of God that they're going to pursue a life together in order to have children, to raise a family, and to help each other get to heaven. Parents forget that they represent God to their children, God's authority. They do so by education, encouragement, and admonition, as Christ did when he was on earth. One of the toughest types of love that a parent has to give to their children is what we call tough love. It's when you tell your child, no, you can't do this, or yes, you must do that. It's when the parent really shows a true love for their children. Now, granted here, it's important to understand the different types of parents. If you are a godparent, you're a parent. Different realms, but still you have those duties you have taken upon yourself when you took upon yourself that privilege. Natural parents, you have the privilege to become parents in that you've taken the vows in marriage. And when you have a child, you get the privilege of honor, respect, obedience, and most importantly, love. But you also must have that for those who are in authority over you, especially the Heavenly Father. He has to be in the equation. Otherwise, it doesn't work. He's the source of true love, true honor, He shows us respect in what he does and demonstrates to us. He teaches us by example how to be obedient. Look, he obeys a weak man when the priest calls, uses the words of consecration and changes in the great act of transubstantiation, the bread and wine into the body, blood, soul, divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. If we have eyes to see, we could just see it. When he was alive on the earth, as we read in Scripture, he was obedient. Today we read, and he went down with them and was subject to them. True obedience begets humility, and humility perfects obedience. Now, once again, we might take a look at this and be tempted to some type of discouragement. Like I said, that's folly. We take a look at this, just like if we have fallen on the ground, we don't just lay on the ground and stay there. We make the effort to get back up. Change what we need to change in order so that we can have something better. Where it concerns the term family, there is a saying which I have heard for many years, and I think it's so important to understand this. The family that prays together stays together. We don't just come to church on Sunday and think we have a good relationship with God. That's baloney. You have a good relationship with God if you come to church on Sunday, having received Christ, take him back to your home, share him with your family, call upon him with your family in supplication, in contrition, in adoration, and in thanksgiving. And then when you go out into the world, into the workplace, business place, or out and about, you take Christ with you, and you can share Christ with others. And that, my friends, is true charity, which is the bond of perfection. Also, another thing about charity covers a multitude of sins. So as we consider this feast of the Holy Family, let us consider those two concepts, holiness and family. Remember, we are part of a spiritual family as well. We call our Blessed Mother our Blessed Mother. We call upon God as our Father. Our Lord is our brother. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. And so we should share that charity, that true charity with each other. If we see our fellow brother or sister in Christ that we're friends with going down the wrong way or doing something incorrect, pray to the Holy Ghost to know how to address it and address it as you should for the love of their soul. Don't just be, oh, I don't want to ruffle any feathers, so I just let them do what they do. They do them, I do me. No, what? That's not family. If you consider yourself part of the spiritual family, you have an obligation. Especially if you enjoy the privileges of being a part of the spiritual family, you have obligations. Just like husbands and wives have obligations to each other, mothers and fathers have obligations to their children. Yes, they all have privileges as well. We have privileges of being children of God and being Catholic, but we have obligations too. Obligations to God first and foremost, and obligations to each other. That's why it says, admonish one another. In all wisdom, teach and admonish one another by psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing in your hearts to God by his grace. Remember, unless the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. He has to be a part of the equation, and only the individual can make him a part. So let us make sure that we make him a true part of that equation today. Starts in the moment, and is followed with persistency and consistency each day, every day, and we perfect that relationship. We humbly call upon the Lord. If we happen to stumble and fall, we get back up. We don't give the devil, as I've heard it said before, his heyday. We don't give him a moment. We call upon the name of the Lord consistently and with trust and hope. Whatever you do in word or in work, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.